tells us there is an obligation to cling to God. Cling to God. And the question is, how do you exactly cling to a being that has no physical qualities, one which it's maybe even prohibited to think about God in the physical way, although let's leave it at that for now. How do you cling to God? This is the source for the concept of vacus, clinging to God, commune with God. But how is that a mitzvah, to cling to God? What exactly is the ma'aseh mitzvah? And all mitzvahs need to have an action that you can do. What exactly is the action that you're doing? So there are a number of suggestions that are brought down, although the Rambam, I believe, is probably the most, is what's probably where most of the Rishonim are to some extent, are believing in and hold this is what the mitzvah is. So I guess he's the most, Rashi says the mitzvah, which the Rambam is going to incorporate, but the Rashi seems to think only, the mitzvah is not to cling to God. How can you cling to God? We'll see the Sefri says it's impossible to cling to God. Rather, you should cling to those who cling to the word of God, i.e., the Vekus B'Talmudei Chachamim, cling to the Talmudei Chachamim, those who heed the word of God, and through that, you'll come somehow to cling to God. Rashi actually says, what does that mean? He says, do business with the Talmud Chacham. Why should you engage in business with the Talmud Chacham? Well, hopefully they'll act more ethically, otherwise they're not a bona fide Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is not just someone who knows a lot of Torah, but someone who internalizes that Torah. So Rashi says you do business with them because that allows them to have the necessary means so they can spend the bulk of their day engaging in learning Torah and in fulfilling God's word. So it seems to be a specific mitzvah to do business with someone to allow them to sit and learn. The Meshech Chachma is an outlier here. He takes a totally different approach to this pasuk, to cling to God. The Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha Divinsk, says this is actually the source for bitachon. The mitzvah to have trust in God. How do you have trust in God? When you cling to God, when you live a life where you're constantly thinking of God and basking in God's presence, thinking about God in your life, so then you have trust that God will do what is best for you. However, the Rambam takes a little bit of a different approach, more along the lines of Rashi and the Ramban and the Smag and Smak, etc. So listen, this is what today's shir is going to be about. Says the Rambam, you know what it means to cling to God? Who should sivinu l'schaber in chachamim. It means to connect yourself to the wise people. Ulas yachid imahim, ulas samed v'yeshivasim b'chol ofen mi'ofni avoda. He says as follows. The command is to associate yourself with sages, to gather with them, and to constantly be involved with them in all manners of work and interaction. Not just when it comes to the Torah they're teaching, not just when they're themselves are engaged in quote-unquote holy work. Rather, if you hang out and you're constantly in the presence of a Talmud Chacham, whatever they're doing, you're with them when they're eating and when they're drinking and when they're doing just the regular mundane things. So what you're going to learn, he says, is from their interactions and from their actions, how exactly, not just the Torah they're teaching, but how to incorporate that Torah into their everyday life. Again, I think what the Rambam is saying is a Talmud Chacham is not someone who just knows a lot of knowledge, who knows a lot of Torah. That's not a Talmud Chacham. That's someone who knows things. There are lots of people who know things. The computer knows things. ChatGPT knows things. To be a Talmud Chacham means to take it, inculcate, and incorporate it into who you are. There was an article in a certain magazine, which I'm not going to say which magazine it was, a Jewish publication. Someone passed away, and they mentioned his son. They called him a noted Talmud Chacham. This noted Talmud Chacham went to jail for the biggest Medicaid fraud in history. I don't think he's a Talmud Chacham. It happens to be. It's not a Talmud Chacham either, even if he didn't go to jail for it before. But he's not a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is someone who lives a life where you can go and watch how they eat, and watch they drink, and watch how they engage with others, and watch how they live their mundane life, and through that, you will learn a certain Torah, a certain Mesorah, that you can't learn just from reading the text, just from reading the book. So all, I think it's all in the same parasha. You can get technical, but Let's put it at that. V'omri yisal v'vo sidbach. The pasuk says you should cling to God. V'arni kapol zatzi. V'agam kin lohad v'kbos. It's twice to cling to God and we should cling to Him. Ba'as ha'fri, and the Sefri asks our question. V'veka ba'adav v'chav v'tamidehem. Okay, so he didn't say that, but basically the Sefri asked the question. The Sefri says, how exactly can you cling to the amorphous God who's just impossible to... You can't cling to God. Says the Sefri, you cling to those who cling to His word. And then he goes on to give some practical ways. That's why a person should marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, ul'achal Talmid Chacham, and to eat with Talmid Chacham, bless them, asik, and do business with them. Fine. Okay. So this is the Rambam. Cling to Talmid Chacham. The Rambam repeats this again, as we noted. Any time the Rambam talks about things in the Sefer HaMitzvot, he's going to repeat it in the Mishnah Torah. I think it's important to see it. Hinuchas Deus says it as well. Mitzvah Saseh Lahat B'Chachamim. There's a positive command to cling to Talmid Chacham, B'Talmideihem, and to their students. K'dei Lilmod Maseihem K'inyan Shnemar Bo Sidbak. And through that you learn their ways. V'chiyav Shalad Lahat L'Shchina. Is it possible for a person to cling to the Shchina? Elakacham Chacham B'Perish Mitzvah Zu Adav B'Chacham B'Talmideihem. Again, he repeats himself. It's important just to see it there. You have to engage and find ways in your life to engage with Talmid Chachamim. Find those points where you can have, again, what's seemingly mundane, but through the mundane, you will see how they live their lives, and you will learn not just halachas, but also what I'd say is the meta halacha of what it means to take the Torah and incorporate it into your life. The thing that's perplexing is, when you read the Pasuk says, cling to God. Moshe is saying, cling to God. So I think what the Rambam is trying to say is as follows. The actual mitzvah is to be close to Hashem, to cling to Hashem. The problem is, again, how exactly are you going to cling to Hashem? So the Maisa mitzvah, the action you can do to cling to God, is to find a Talmid Chacham, someone who himself has this devekus, this commune, this close connection to God, and it's through that you use the Talmid Chacham, not he's your pathway, although you may find some source in the Hasidic source that talk about this, but rather what he's saying is he's going to be your way in which you could, almost a bridge to help you get there.
What Pasuk does he use?
Who goes to Bakwam?
Yeah. Oh, that's what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dvaram Yud. Again, I think what he's saying, again, not, it's not,
it's twice,
he quotes both of them, and Yud Aleph Chav Beis. That, again, I think the key is, and you will find sources in the Hasidic sources. There are sources that say the Talmid Chacham becomes the pathway. I think what the Rambam is saying is that the Talmid Chacham is the bridge. That there's a vast Torah, God's all the way out there, how do you come close to God, which is the ultimate goal? You meet someone, and we've all, I'm sure, hopefully, counted people who helped us get there, who gave us insight, not just through the Torah they learned, but through the lives and the way they exemplify the Torah that helps you come closer to God. So in a way, think about it, it's almost like kiruv. It's someone utilizing a Talmid Chacham to help you to serve as that bridge. I'm sure it's not this particular mitzvah. Yeah. I think you're 100% correct. It's people. And honestly, I had a conversation with someone last week, and we were talking about what they were telling me about certain people they know who are no longer religious. And I said to them, I don't think people, or the vast majority of people, walk away from religion because they read the Morning Nevuchim and they have a problem. The Rambam found some sort of contradiction. I think it's the contradiction they find is within people. It's the hypocrisy they see. That, I think, is a lot bigger of a turnoff. Because, again, when the bridge starts to fray, and the bridge collapses, it's like, how can someone who spends their days learning and engage in the Word of God and then live a life that's so diametrically opposite to what seemingly they should be living, which they should be exemplifying? And again, then the conversation about throwing out the baby with the bathwater, recognizing the larger picture. But I think that's also something important to note over here. If you look at the Minchas Chinuch, sorry, the Chinuch, excuse me, Sefer Chinuch, he called it, his heading for this mitzvah, the heading for each mitzvah, his heading is Mitzvahs Chabura Vadvekim Chachmei HaTorah. This might get a little bit to your point. The mitzvahs to Chabura, at least on Shabbos, to have like a close connection, a Chibwe, a connection, Vadvekim, and almost a commune with those who are the scholars of the Torah. And again, he goes through, he quotes a lot of the same things the Rambam quotes, and then he says, and as he always does, the breakdown of the chinuch, as we, again, part of the discussion, you can ask Rebecca, when she was helping with the flyer, should this be a sefer chinuch shir or a sefer mitzvah shir? It's going back and forth, because they really they have the same goal in mind. He opens up with the halachos. He then says what the root of it is. He says, shorash ha-mitzvah niglahu. He goes, this time, it's clear and apparent what the point of this mitzvah is. Like, it's obvious, he says. What does he say? What is the source for this mitzvah? What's the reason God said, "Cling to Talmud Chacham"? It's obvious, and he says it black on white. So we learn to know the ways of God, may he be blessed. No mention of the Chacham here. Not that we have a relationship with the Talmud Chacham, it's no. The relationship with the Talmud Chacham is so we learn to the ways of God. So he kind of says it black on white. And then he says, who is obligated in this? When Eges mitzvah zu b'chol makom cholzman b'zecharim v'gam v'dekevos mitzvah aleihem. Everyone, male and female, in all times, all places, God came l'shmo divrei chacham, to listen to the words of the sages. Tishayilnu l'das es Hashem. Through that, you should learn to know God. V'ha'over al zeh v'einu mischaber imohem. V'koi b'libim la'avos v'shtadl b'tovim as'alem v'itim sheish sof v'yad l'asas came v'afal asay zu. And someone, he says, and how do you transgress this? If you do not associate yourself with them and fix their love in his heart and strive for their good and their benefit at times when he has ability to do so, he has violated this. You say the Chacham said this, but I don't really want to have that relationship. I think I know better. So then you're over this. Now, I'm not getting into the conversation of what we'd say turns to the Talmud Chacham and what he says is the word of God. I don't want to enter that what's colloquially known as Das Torah. But there is the idea we're getting at is the person that when it comes to certain matters. The Talmud Chacham, hopefully someone who refines and attunes their sensibility to that of the Torah, someone who lives that sort of life, you can look at them, you can learn how to live their life. And he continues to go on, he says that, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech says, you want to become wise? Holech el esaf chamim yichachem. One who goes to the wise ones will become wise. It will rub off on them. And by the way, we see this is true. Even someone who got intentionally. You have someone who hangs out with wise people, they end up repeating a lot of what the person will say. And it rubs off on them in a very positive way as well. And then he said, this is what it says in Pirkei Avos, you should be the dust at the feet at their feet. And we find elsewhere in Pirkei Avos, your house should be open, a base vav, a chamim, open your house for wisdom. This might even be a part of the mitzvah. That when a big rabbi comes to town, a big chacham comes to town, you should be the one to say, I want to host you. Come to my house. Why? Because that's all part of serving the Talmud Chacham and having that relationship with Talmud Chacham. I noticed, I was reading, it was Mishpacha magazine, over a couple of articles reading about these certain gadolim who passed away, and all that kept mentioning, like, oh yeah, he had the relationship with this rabbi and that rabbi and this rabbi when he was a little kid. Almost like it was unfair. It was like, yeah, of course, if you grew up in his house and grew up with, and then your father was this person's best friend, that rabbi's best friend, so of course you're going to have that sort of, it's going to rub off on you, it's going to affect you. And we see this to be true. So that's the Sefer Chinuch. But then the Sefer Chinuch adds on, and I think this is the key to it. It's kind of we're driving the whole time. The idea is not just to go to the Chacham so you learn 613 mitzvahs. That's nice, but we have a Sefer Torah for that. We have all this Torah on the shelf for that. There is a meta halacha. There are meta ideas that you can only get through the transmission of the Mesorah. It's just reality. That there's so much more to Torah. And probably even if you want to say the bridge from taking Torah and being just an intellectual pursuit and making it life, that you can't get from a book. That you can only get, the Torah's chayim, from seeing someone who lives that life and emulating them and learning from them. In fact, that's why the Gemara in Brachos says in the Zion, in your source sheet, Amar Yochanan Mishra Rabbi Shimba Yerchai, Gadol Shimusha Shal Torah Yosim Yilimudo. Service of the Torah is greater than the study. What does that mean? Serving a Talmud Chacham, serving the Torah is greater than learning it itself, because ultimately, knowledge that comes from a book will fail at a certain point. It can only take you so far. It's the transmission from someone who can tell you how exactly it should play out. And also, by the way, I think many times the black and white binary happens when it comes from a book. When it's just, you're only studying in the books, then things appear much more black and white. Nuance, the gray, the middle ground, the ability to recognize and actually analyze something and realize things are not black and white. That comes from a wise chacham who you're learning it from. That's just the reality. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out as well that Gemara and Brachas is trying to figure out who exactly is an Am Haaretz. Who's an Am Haaretz? Someone who's a person who's... I can't give a definition now because the Gemara's gave a definition, but Am Haaretz colloquially is someone who's unlearned. Who's unlearned? Why does the Gemara need to figure it out? So it's in the context of trying to figure out exactly when it comes to Brachos and joining a mezumen. So, Tanur Rabbanan, Ezu Am Haaretz, who's an Am Haaretz? And again, there are going to be certain ramifications in terms of Kasherus and Brachos and Trumas and Mises. We just learned the Zerayim together. So the Mishnah says, very simple. The Gemara says, Kol She'enu Korah Kriyas Shema Arvus V'Shacharis. Anyone who doesn't say Shema in the morning and at night. Seemingly saying anyone who's not keeping the basic mitzvah of Krishma, maybe you can even argue the basic mitzvah of Krishma incorporates Talmud Torah as well, a little Torah in the morning, a little Torah at night. Someone who's not living the basic halacha, they're not maritz, and therefore we can't necessarily trust them when it comes to other areas because they're not keeping the basic halacha. They could be fine and good people, they could be upstanding, ethical people, but just when it comes to the halacha of trust, and it comes to the halachas of certain brachos and being yotzei, so then we can't rely on them. Rabbi Lazar, Rishu Omer, Kol Sheinu Maniach Tefillin, anyone doesn't put on Tefillin, Benazi Omer, Kol Sheinu Tzitzit Tegadav, Benazi, no, even if you're not wearing Tzitzis, Rav Nassim Omer, Kol Sheinu Mezuzah Al-Pischa, you don't have Mezuzah on your door. Again, we can probably go through why each one of these are particularly chosen, but we're seeing it's, these are halachos that are seemingly important, they're grounded halachos, Tefillin are about every morning, put on, remembering Hashem every day, Parshas Bo, we just discussed it, the Ramban there. Mezuzah is about you walking to the door every time. The Rambam says every time you walk in the door, you should take a moment to think about Hashem. Hashem's my life. I'm walking the door. Hashem's here. Okay, fine. Makes a lot of sense. Someone who's not attuned to the spiritual, to the halacha, to the Torah, they're considered an amaretz. However, Rav Nosson by Yosef Omer Kol Sheish Bobanav Einu Magad L'Tam Torah. Anyone who has sons and doesn't raise them in the way of the Torah, doesn't, you know, says I can't afford it. Says I don't want to. Says it's not for me. Amaretz. However, Acherim is the most perplexing. Acherim, Omrim. Afilu Kor Bishana, someone who learns, someone who teaches, Veloshimesh Talmudi Chachamim, but doesn't serve, doesn't attach himself to Talmudi Chachamim, Harezu Amaretz. They are considered an Amaretz. Ask Rabbi Soloveitchik the question we're probably all thinking. The person can sit there. Excuse me. Know all of Shas, not just Dav Yomi, know it all. Teach Torah, give a shir. But because they don't have a connection to a rabbi, to a rebbe, to a Talmud Chacham, they're not Amaretz? Why they're not Amaretz? Say they make a mistake. Maybe there's an Aveir. Amaretz? What's going on with this? All right, Salvechik says the same thing that we're driving at. That ultimately, knowledge that comes from a book can never teach you how to apply it to Torah's Chaim. The Torah of life. It requires someone to bridge it. It requires someone to say that there is a way in which to take all that knowledge and apply it to life. And if you don't have someone to teach you, to guide you, you'll end up with a skewed perspective on things. In fact, this is something we'll talk about hopefully on Parshas Korach. The Rav has a very lengthy essay where Korach says, Kulan and Kadoshim, we're all holy. The Rav wants to argue that what Korach was doing was saying, look, we're all holy. The Torah says we're all holy. I don't need a mentor. I don't need a rabbi. I could just look in the Torah. We could all look in the Torah, and we can pull out the principles we need for life and live our life. And what Moshe said to him is, no, you come with a skewed perspective there. Your balance is going to be off. Your hierarchy of values is going to be off. And by the way, not to get into specifics, but we see that. We see people. That's 100% correct. And that's also the Ramban, by the way. The Ramban says, Asisha Hayashir V'Hatov. The Rambam says, Asisha Hayashir V'Hatov. Do what is good and straight. What does he mean by that? The Ramban says as follows. What does the Torah mean by that? The Ramban says the Torah could not legislate everything. I think it's more than impossible. Not that it couldn't because the Torah would be gone forever, infinity. I think it's impossible to legislate everything. Rather, the Torah is saying, Asisha Hayashir V'Hatov. Do what is good and right. Do what is just. And then the Chachamim say, let's explain how that plays out in an ethical way. Let's explain how we can live a balanced life. And that is part of what the Torah wants of us and desires of us and demands of us of Asisar Yashiv HaTov. Again, not that, I think some people think the Torah couldn't do it because the Torah would go on for infinity. It's not that. I think the Torah is saying it's impossible to legislate certain things. But if you have a Talmud Chacham in your life, you have someone who's in tune with the sensibilities of the Torah, so then you will, they will tell you how it will play out. And one more source before we close. This is a famous piece from Rav Chanan Wasserman. Rav Chanan Wasserman asked, Bilam, the story of Bilam is, what did Bilam do wrong? Bilam kept on saying, whatever God says, I will do. Right? He continuously said, whatever God says, I will do. That's the whole story. First Balak says, he said, I can't do it. God said no. Until eventually the story goes on, and God finally kind of like, you can do it, but it's not going to work. So Rav Chanan Wasserman said, at the end of the day, God kind of gave him the dispensation, the heter, to go and curse the Jewish people, if you read through the story. So what did Bilam do wrong? So Rav Chanan Wasserman says as follows. It's very clear what God wanted. It's very clear what God wanted, and Bilam just pressured God, whatever, again, how it played out. Bilam knew exactly that God did not want him to go curse his children. Says Rav Chanan, and that's the key here. He said there are three parts in the Torah in terms of God's relationship to us. God will command us. God will speak to us by Yedaber. God will speak, and then what he calls is Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem. That sometimes God doesn't say things explicitly, but if you're in tune with the sensibilities of the Torah and God, it's clear and obvious what God wants. So God might say to Vilam, "Okay, fine, just go," but it's very clear and obvious what God wants. And Rasher Weiss develops this at length. I was hoping to do it, but we don't have time. But Rasher Weiss develops this at length. This concept of Ratzon Hashem, Ratzon Torah. That there's certain times the Torah will not say anything explicitly. I'll give you one example. This is his most famous example. Rav Asher Weiss said, it says in the Torah, the Gemara tells us, Tzar Bali Chayim, oppressing, causing pain to an animal, is a Doraisa. Ask Rav Asher Weiss, where in the Torah does it say you're not allowed to oppress an animal? The Gemara explicitly says it's Doraisa, yet you can't find a verse in the Torah. So Rav Asher Weiss goes to the Rishonim Nachronim and he finds like 17 different sources, I believe, for what it possibly can be. Everything from Pariku to Ina, how we're supposed to help to unload the animal, to like, he finds like some crazy midrashim about how when Moshe hit the rock, that might have been Tzabal Echayim. Says Rav Asher Weiss, what's going on here? And he says as follows, sometimes it might not be explicit in the Torah, but if you can find enough sources that seem to point one way, that's what he calls the Ratzon HaTorah, the desire of the Torah. Not everything could be legislated, but it's Ratzon HaTorah, it's what the Torah wants. Interestingly, the footnote in Rav Hanan's piece points something out also beautifully. Footnote said that these three parts of the Torah, of command, speech, and then Ratzon HaTorah, correspond to three relationships we can have in our life. We could be, or to God. We could be an Eved Hashem, as in God, we're commanded. It says we could be Dibor, as in a father and a son, Banu Matam LaHashem, we're the sons of God. A father, a mother, they teach their kid. They speak to their kid, and the kid listens. And then he says, the greatest one of Ratzon HaTorah is that of friends. He says that it's through this great teshuka, this feeling of love, of ava, we come to the Ratzon Hashem. And that's one of Reim Ahuvim. When you are so in tune with someone, you're so in tune with a spouse, you know what they want, even when they don't ask. Or if for that matter, they don't have to ask, you know their Ratzon. That comes from being a friend. I thought it was an interesting observation. But Rav Hanan is driving, and I think this pulls us all together. Rambam says, how do you cling to God? It's impossible to cling to God. You cling to a Talmud Chacham. And through that, the Talmud Chacham serves as a bridge to God. Meaning to say that if the Talmud Chacham tells us, really, the ideal is to cling to God, but Talmud Chacham tells us how. Because, as we've been showed through many different sources, it's impossible to just look at a book and know what God wants. It tells us some of it, a lot of it, but ultimately the nuance, the gray, the hierarchy of values, how to take the Torah and bring it to life, that requires someone. That requires looking at someone not when they're teaching the Torah necessarily, but when they're living their life, as the Rambam says. When they're eating, when they're drinking, when they're engaging in business, the way they live their life, from there we learn not just the command, not which is corresponding to us being an Eved, not just the speech corresponding to us being sons, children of God, but also the Ratzon HaTorah, what is that God wants, which is the Reim Ahuvim, that friendship we have with God as well. I wish you all a wonderful week.